Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Yeah. Good morning. Kathy and Judy here. And yes, we are going to address what happened in Paris and people's reactions to it. We're going to do that after we switch over to the stream at 10:30. There's a Northwestern football game again today. There's only three more. We don't know what the other two, what the time of the other two is. But when that happens, they go on the AM signal and we go on WGN Plus or on your WGN app on your smartphone. And you can do that right now. If you're listening right now, do that. Switch to it. And then you don't have to switch. Right. You don't have to switch at 10:30 then.
Right.
Anyway, we are going to address that. And those of you who are regular listeners know that sometimes we struggle once we're on the stream to get phone calls. And we think that this may be a topic that a lot of you will be anxious to weigh in on. And we hope you will after we switch to the stream at 10:30. There's a lot of very strong feelings about it. And we will be anxious to hear yours.
I'm jangled from it, so
yeah.
I imagine that there are other people
right.
as well.
And we had promoted talking about
earworms.
Yes.
Earworms are the songs that stay in your head for way too long and you can't shake
days
them.
Days sometimes.
Right.
Right.
Right. And I had an earworm situation the week before last that I would say was minimally 3 days.
Wow.
And it was.
Now we know that as soon as we say any of these songs, that it's going to give some of you an earworm. And for that, we apologize.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I don't remember who sang this, but it was Save the Last Dance for Me.
Wow.
Save the last dance for me.
Right. How does that start? Or was it only that line that was warming in your ear?
You know, I think a couple weeks ago I looked up the beginning of the song, but
right.
I don't remember what it was.
Isn't
now.
It like, you can tell, da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'll go home with me, and it's...
I think Bob's looking it up. The ever-vigilant Bob Ferguson, extraordinaire engineer. Yes.
And also very musically knowledgeable.
Right. So,
so I would find myself walking the dog, having the song.
The last dance for me.
I think I got a dirty look from my dog.
Stop it. Stop it. And I said in the promo that when you say that, the song that occurs to me, and it's not with lyrics, although I think at some point they did add lyrics, is the theme to the Dick Van Dyke Show. And I don't know why that worms into my ear when I'm gardening. Da 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 da, and just the music just keeps going on an endless reel over and over in my head. So 312-981-7200 is the number.
Earwormed.
Right? Do you have one right now? Is there one making you crazy right now, or is there one that's somewhat consistently an issue for you that comes up over and over?
Oh,
and
I
over
never
again?
Have had a repeat.
Well, you said that you keep hearing Save the Last Dance for
but
Me.
But that was for those 3 days. But I mean, like, 2 years later.
For me, it's Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, it's always Dick Van Dyke?
It often comes up when I'm gardening. And I don't know why that is. Maybe just because.
The brain is a curious thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So give us a call or give us a text. 312-981-7200. What song plays over and over and over in your head? And you can text us as well. And this is Yvonne. Hold on a second.
Yvonne Marie?
Hi, Yvonne. Yvonne?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. You know what?
What?
Last Saturday night on Oprah Winfrey Station, the On Station, they had the Apollo and the Isley Brothers were on.
Okay.
And they're the ones that sing Who's That Lady, Sexy Lady.
Okay.
all week I go around and say, who's that lady? Sexy lady.
Do you walk different when you're singing that?
I could just be in the bathroom. And,
looking at yourself in the mirror.
And I'll just go, who's that lady?
So it lasted all week.
All week.
Okay.
All week.
And now for other people, they'll probably be doing the same thing over the weekend.
And my granddaughter, she'll be here and she'll start laughing, but that's just the only, I don't say anything else but that.
All right. That's exactly what we mean, Yvonne. Thanks for calling.
Right. Bye-bye.
Okay. This is Mary. Hi, Mary.
Whoops.
Hi.
I do that all the time. I was saying I really like to sing. So lately I decided I got to hear Gloria Estevan songs. Hers stick in my brain. The one that I can think of is The Rhythm's Gonna Get You.
How's that go, Mary?
Rhythm's gonna get you. And it's great for walking. Sometimes I don't even have my radio or my...
Your earbuds in?
I'm plugged into my phone.
There you go. Rhythm is going to get you. That's Mary's earworm. Thanks, Mary.
Okay.
I wonder if there's someone who always has the same one. Just like I've never had repeats. I mean, do you consider yourself as having the same one?
Well, the Dick Van Dyke theme comes up a lot. Another theme from 815 is I had the Laverne and Shirley theme in my head last week. I'm not even sure I know what the Laverne and Shirley theme is. What, Bob? Do you know the Laverne and Shirley theme?
Yeah.
What is it?
I think you've heard it before.
Is that Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated? Mm-hmm. And then is there a song that goes with that?
Uh-huh. We're going to do it.
We're going to do it our way. Okay, thank you very much. Nice,
as they're
nice
making
singing,
the beer.
Yeah,
well, you know. It's not my forte.
We have a text that says that whenever I'm... Where'd this just go? The woman is vacuuming, and she... I can't find the song, but she says she moves into a cha-cha.
Okay.
While vacuuming to her earworm song.
And 815 says, whenever I see a spider, the music from the shower scene in Psycho goes off in my head. Every time I go to Zumba, says 630, the songs stick in my head for days. They are Spanish tunes, so I don't know the names. We're talking about earworms at 312-981-7200. Earworm brushing my teeth. Do your ears hang low? Do they wobble to and fro? Do you know what that was originally?
No.
What other body part would fit in there? Do your blank hang low? Do they wobble to and fro?
Boobs.
Can you tie them? Yeah. Apparently that, but to be sort of more politically correct, it was changed to ears.
Oh, well, that was a camp song.
Yes, it was. Apparently 231 for a week has been bothered by the 9-to-5 theme. It's a small world. Oh, we're really sorry, 630, because
that's probably one of the most stickable, sickening songs that can stay in your head.
Right. 312-981-7200, back to talk about your own personal earworms.
But don't forget taking you home.
This is Judy's earworm.
Right.
So darling.
Say the last day.
We're talking about earworms.
I'm
and
screwed. It's going to come right back.
Several very helpful texts from people who say there are, so far we have two songs that can kill an earworm. One is the Star Spangled Banner. If you start singing the Star Spangled Banner in your head, it will kill an earworm. And the other is It's a Small World. But as we know, It's a Small World can also be an earworm. Yes,
right.
This is Beth. Hi, Beth.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. What sticks in your ears, head, brain?
Okay. So if we have choir practice on Thursday, that song will stick in my head 10 times, 20 times a day until we sing it on Sunday. And then
okay.
It's still with me, but not quite as
what's
much.
What's it right now?
Nothing.
Didn't you have choir practice this week?
No, we didn't, because we don't sing every Sunday. We sing once a month or twice a month.
Okay.
But... years ago, I heard that the theme song from the Johnny Carson show, if you sang that one. So there's another one that maybe can help get rid of the earworm.
I don't even know what that one is. What was the Tonight Show theme?
Oh, my gosh.
What was the...
Okay, let's see. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Do-do-do-do-do. Oh, okay.
I'm not doing it right, but it's sort of like that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Beth.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a beautiful day.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
This is Joyce. Hey, Joyce.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on just a second. Hi,
hey, Joyce.
Hello.
Hi.
What's
Hi.
The earworm that you've got?
Well, it's a small world from the teacup ride in Disney World.
I know. Can make you crazy.
It can.
And but
this says you had another one named Laura.
Oh, that's my favorite all-time song, Laura, from the theme from Dr. Zhivago.
Ah, Laura's theme.
Yeah, Laura's theme from Dr. Zhivago.
Like we said, Laura's theme. Right. All right. Thank you, Joyce.
You're welcome.
Okay. This is Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. What's your earworm?
A lot of times, I'm sorry, listen to a country station.
That's all right.
No apologies necessary.
You're back. Right.
Okay. Yeah, I listen to you girls all the time.
Great.
We're on longer on Saturdays. Anyway, my favorite or the song that goes over and over in my mind is I Got the Boy, She Got the Man.
I never heard that.
Whose song is that? It's a country western song, right?
Yeah, I don't know who it is, but every time it's on, I have to, you know, if I'm in the car, I turn the radio up or whatever. But it's just a song about a girl who sees in the paper that her ex-boyfriend is getting married, and she had the boy when he was young.
You got to give us a little song version so we can hear what everybody's been singing.
Come on. Give us a couple verses or phrases.
I got the boy, she got the man. I got the class ring, she got the diamond and the wedding band.
Is there a personal connection for you?
No.
Okay.
No, because when I had the class ring, I also got the diamond and the wedding band. So
same guy. So you got the boy and the man.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Hold on. Just bye-bye. Bob, got it? Black tux from a ball cap right.
And a pickup. I think this is him.
Okay. Seems like another world. You and me and our big dreams falling in love. Who's the singer?
We were two kids in
the backseat.
All fearless.
Janet Kramer. Who knows? Maybe it is. Let's call Spike down in Nashville and ask him.
Let's call US 99. Oh, this is Mary. Actually, Mary, some people suggested this could kill an earworm, but for you, it is an earworm.
Oh, it's just awful.
And it is.
Are you lying in bed because of it? You sound like you're in bed sick.
Mary?
Mary?
Are you there, Mary? Well,
okay,
we lost Mary, but Crystal apparently has the same problem. Crystal, what's your earworm? Oh, we hate this when the phones go out. All right, let's try Crystal again. Crystal?
Yep.
Hi. What's your earworm?
Hey, that gall dang Cars for Kids song you guys play. I just break my leg running across the room to shut off the radio. Because if I hear that, it's flipping stuck in my head the entire day.
You know, I remember before.
That's the sign of a good jingle.
In our previous WGN life, I can't remember if it was Cars for Kids or what it was, but we asked, why do some jingles stick in your head? And some guy that was a musicologist or something called and said that there are certain keys, I can't remember if it's C or F or whatever, that most people can relate to. And the other is the rhythm of the song.
Yeah,
and it's
pattern.
Very connected to the average heartbeat. 1-877 Cars for Kids. K. They're not complicated melodies. They're repetitive melodies. And the rhythm of them sticks with you because it mimics your heartbeat. So, Crystal.
You stuck with it.
You there, Crystal?
I'm there, and I've got if it's my heartbeat, it's got to go a whole lot faster because it makes my heart race every time.
Okay.
I shut it off.
All right, Crystal, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay. This is Greg. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. What's your wife always humming?
My wife is always humming Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Oh, jeez.
Is that the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da?
All the time. And the movie came on, so I turned the movie on. And I said, hey, there's your theme, Lisa. She's like, what are you talking about?
She doesn't know she does it?
The song you hum all the time. What was that?
What? But it's still stuck in her head and now in your ears because she hums it all the time. Very funny.
Day.
Very yes. funny. Thank you, Greg.
The other one I have is, Mana, wait, hold on. I lost it now.
Okay.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, the Muppets.
Yes.
Na-na. Yeah.
And I do it at the office and there's a response.
Don't they have kind of words to it? Isn't it? Nini, it's not neener, but it's like, oh, dang. And I can hear it in my head. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Thank you.
Now you gave me an earworm. This is Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Yep.
There you go. What song sticks in your head besides that one now?
Well, you ladies hopefully will remember the old Wellington Windows commercials.
Give us a couple bars.
One was take a new look at a Wellington Windows, factory direct to you.
Oh, yes.
Take a new look at a Wellington Windows.
And those still stick in your head.
And those still stick in my head because they were so good and they were such popular commercials. And there were two of them, so I'm constantly trying to figure out which one was which.
Did it ever make you buy a Wellington window?
Never did because I was too young at the time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I now own my own home, and now I could buy them, but they don't seem to be around anymore.
I don't know if they are.
Yeah, I haven't heard their commercials.
All right, now, Kathy, after 10:30, how are you going to be listening to us?
Well, I tried to listen to you guys on the stream last week, and it just didn't work for me, so I'm going to try again.
Keep trying, and it might be smart to do that right now because
exactly.
In another couple minutes we're going to be going to the stream, to WGN Plus, to your smartphone, and after 10:30 we are going to be talking about Paris. So thanks for the call, Kath.
Thank you.
We can beat them all.
Service to a
green.
Okay, we're back.
Here
we
are.
We never really left.
Oh, wait a minute. I have to press a button so I know where we are. Sorry for the inside baseball here. Okay. We acknowledged at the outset of the show that how could we not address what happened in Paris yesterday? We are ready to take your calls on that at 312-981-7200, same number as always. And you can also text us. You know that. Judy and I each have a take on it, and let's do that. You can bounce off of that or your own opinion on what's going on.
My reaction that I would be interested in is because it was my reaction.
Of course.
I wondered if it made others, because we're not in France and there's a big ocean between us, feel less secure. I mean, a very well-coordinated attack happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was planned.
Right.
And we know that there are people who are, you know, ISIS people probably here in the States. And it scares the hell out of me.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
I mean, I was scared after 9/11 that it could happen again.
Right.
But I wondered if it rattled your own sense of security and how this is just going to go on and where and what makes any of us feel really safe.
And my response to that is I just look at statistics that, you know, Paris is a huge city. yes, many people died as a result of this, but the likelihood that any single person is going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time is, it's a teeny tiny little fraction of possibility. So I look at it and I say, well, here we are in Tribune Tower. And I remember after 9/11, we were down here in the showcase studio and we talked about what if this building came down? What if something attacked this building? Because certainly Tribune Tower or any media outlet is likely to be the victim or the target of an attack. And I think we just both said, what are you going to do? So anyway, but let's hear from you. 312-981-7200. Judy asked the question, do you feel less safe wherever you are, whether you're in Downers Grove or Nashville or Chicago? Do you feel less safe now? Do you feel threatened by this? And of course, that's what they want you to feel.
I'm falling in the hands of the terrorists.
Yeah, yeah. And I have a couple of responses. Somebody posted this morning, and I'm sure it'll be posted and reposted, a beautiful quote from Mr. Rogers. It had a picture of Fred Rogers, and it said, my mother always told me when anything bad happens, look for the helpers. And I just thought, wow, that is really sweet. I mean,
is that profound? I don't understand it.
When something bad happens, we tend to focus on the pictures of the explosion or whatever rather than the pictures of the people lining up to give blood, which there are in Paris this morning, people lining up to do that, mm-hmm. or people manning the ambulances and people just helping people get out. People in Paris who opened their homes to strangers who needed just a place to be. So I just love that. Whenever anything bad happens, look for the helpers. But my second response is, since last night, I've seen more posts and status updates and comments about peace on earth or, you know, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me and peace on earth. That's never going to happen, people. Never in history has there been peace on earth. And never will there be peace on earth.
It's the number just is 312-981-7200.
Right.
And I think that, you know, you can relate to either of our questions or what your thoughts are on what has transpired in the past 24 hours.
Right. So
over in Paris.
312-981-7200. And can we get this line? Dan? Okay. Give us a call. Give us a text. Can't believe that there won't be a lot of you who have things to be said about what happened in Paris. Certainly there are going to be some of you who say bomb the crap out of them. Or, since we're on the stream, bomb the shit out of them. How would you propose to do that? How would you find all of these cells of these disaffected and dissatisfied young men, mostly, and kill them all? That's
Donald Trump said exactly that this week.
Among others.
I heard him saying, I know more about ISIS than all of the generals. And I say, bomb the shit out of them, is what he said. It was bleeped. But you know, that's one of those grandiose things. I mean, it's true. There are nooks and crannies, and there would be very little way. And also, that's so inflammatory. You know, it's like if one cancer cell is left in your body, it can bring the whole thing down. And if you got 99.9%
of the ISIS people,
exactly.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
Right. And there are so many countries, including this one, where there are disaffected young people who are angry for any number of reasons, angry at France, angry at the U.S., and you can't find them all. And I don't know. I mean, Judy, when we were talking in the office this morning, you said something about in 100. Oh, we were talking about the rising of the seas in 100 years. If things don't change in 100 years, the seas will rise 200
feet,
200 feet or something like that.
That's a separate topic. Yeah, we're not doing global warming exactly. and Paris at the same time.
This is
Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi. Yes.
Hi. What's your
good morning?
Good morning.
You know, yesterday, I sent a I posted an email on Facebook, and this is real relevant. It's, what it said was regarding France today. Unfortunately, we've had several terrorist attacks in our own country from our own residents, Sandy Hook, NIU, and others, etc. So it happens. It continues to happen here. I will be surprised if it stops because we haven't figured out a way to do that.
Ever in history.
You're right.
Well, I'll tell you, the next part of this is I got an interesting response from one of my high school history teachers who I'm still been in touch with. And he says civilization wars like this one don't end easily. This one has actually lasted 1,000 years since the Crusades. More blood to come.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah, and one of our texts says religion is the basis. Christian versus Jew versus Islam versus Christian. Those who believe the apocalypse are spreading insanity. When religion is finally seen as the root, we may contain the madness. Well, we know that's not going to happen. We know we're not going to stop religion. Right. But religion has been at the root of most wars.
But he maintains that we're in a 1,000-year cycle right now with the Crusades. And, you know, nobody looks back beyond what happened yesterday. And I'm, you know, the number of terrorist attacks we've had in our own country is something that nobody's ever seen before. And to your question, do I feel less safe? The answer is probably not. But if it happened three blocks down the street, that would probably change the way I think for a long, long time.
Right. And that speaks to what I was saying earlier, that the chance, the minute chance that any of us individually will be affected is, it's minute. It is. Next to nothing.
It is.
Right.
But if it happened, you'd never forget it.
Right. But the greater feeling and the greater response to something like this is, oh, my God, what if this happened to me or to somebody
and
I love?
See, mine isn't that. It isn't what if it happened to me. It's like, you know, how for so long I always felt I was walking on solid ground, you know, after Run, Duck, and Cover and all that.
Right.
And, you know, then that thought sort of left my mind and we carried on. But when this can happen, I feel like the ground is shakier, not just for me, but for all of us, that it's something that you have to kind of incorporate just into your consciousness, learn to live with, and understand that safety is not entitled to anybody on this earth.
Well, and certainly we have been excluded from what the rest of the world has been exposed to forever. We are, you know, 9/11 was a wake-up call. It was like, whoa, is this how people in other countries live in fear?
Yes, it is.
Right. And that's something it just hasn't been something that we've had to deal with for a long time. So, Well, Carrie, we're glad you were listening. Thank you for the call.
Good. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
And somebody said, yay, found the girls. Tell people not to give up. Of course, if you're trying to get us on the stream, you're not hearing this. But our phone lines are still open, 312-981-7200. Call us or text us. We would like to hear your comments about what has happened in Paris.
Absolutely nothing.
No shit. You know, come on. I Well, the response of many people to what has happened in Paris is a military response. You know, bomb the crap out of them. Get over there and just... Well, wait a minute. What's the plan, Stan? You can't do that. That is not... If this were an organized army that had a central place, there might be some merit in that kind of response. But we don't know where these people are.
It was the same with Al-Qaeda.
Right, exactly. So to be shooting guns at a spirit that moves from place to place, it's just not a... It's not a reasoned response. It's not going to work. We're angry. We're frustrated. We want to do something. And the difficult thing is that we can't. We can't. Because a lot of these people blow themselves up in the process.
Right.
I don't know. It's just remarkable. Some of us are texting. I love the idea of think of the helpers. That's the Mr. Rogers meme mm-hmm. that's making the rounds that Mr. Rogers used to say. My mother said, whenever something bad happens, look for the helpers. And there are always helpers. There were civilians last night who were trying to help people who were trying to get out of that theater. What's the Bataclan?
Know the name.
I'm an ESL teacher at COD. I had coffee with four of my students from Mexico, Colombia, Peru, and Iran yesterday morning. Despite our differences, we have much in common. Then I attended an LGBT sensitivity training at my school. I think we each need to do what we can to build bridges. On a sad day when so much unspeakable horror took place, I found strength by connecting with forces of love and understanding. That's pretty lovely. A couple more texts from people. People by nature are tribal.
Yeah.
Take religion out and we'll find another reason to fight. That's why pro sports franchises work. People are tribal. And I also often wonder, too, when people talk about, you know, we need peace on earth, I think we all need to look at ourselves and say how... Under what circumstances are we putting our fists up? When
what do you mean?
Well, I think when you say let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me, that makes perfect sense because I can do nothing about what happened in France. I can't do anything. But I can stop myself from time to time, and I have, from posting a snarky response to somebody online, from responding to something I disagree with on Facebook in anger and derision and...
You don't respond that way.
I can tell you there's a lot of times when I type it out and then I look at it and go, delete, delete, delete. Don't do that. There's no sense in that. And I think the difficult thing to deal with for many of us, or probably for most of us, is that we want to do something and to face that we can do nothing.
Well, I don't think I feel like I want to do something because I'd be too scared to know what to do.
Okay.
But I want something to be done.
Make somebody else fix it.
Indicative of probably how I've been my whole life.
I borrowed from somebody the other day a graphic that I posted on my personal Facebook page. And again, love all of you, but if I don't know you, I won't accept you as a friend on my personal Facebook page. But it says, a Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, a pagan, and an atheist all walk into a coffee shop. And they talk, laugh, drink coffee, and become good friends. It's not a joke. It's what happens when you're not an asshole. and it's true. I disagree with a lot of people's beliefs, but I can't fix it. And I certainly, all you have to do is follow a thread on Facebook or any place else and see that you can just see the anger escalating and the digging in of positions. People just dig in, and you'll just see the same three or four people just throwing insults and deriding each other, and nobody's mind has changed. Nobody from ISIS is going to sit down and listen to our reasonable arguments against why they shouldn't be doing what they're doing, nor are we willing to listen to theirs.
Well, I think one of the things it involves is they apparently need us to believe what they believe or for us to be dead.
Yes.
They have to change our belief.
Or make us afraid. This is Dolores. Hi, Dolores.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Judy. How are you?
Good. How are you listening to us?
I'm listening on the stream, but I'm going to be switching over and watching the football game pretty soon.
Okay. Bitch.
Thanks, Kath.
What's your response to this whole mess?
Well, I think one of my big concerns is that we don't blame all Muslims for what a few radicals did. I have a friend who is Muslim, and every time something like this happens, he just cringes because he's not like that, and yet he gets associated that way because, you know, he's Muslim. He's Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
And it concerns me that people would, I mean, we do that all the time. We paint everybody. We do blonde jokes. We do, you know, so everybody that's blonde must be stupid. This is a lot more serious, though, and I'd rather not see everybody blame all Muslims for what a few nutcases did.
Well, that's why I think, I can't remember if Kathy did the joke, but I think you said Muslim and someone from ISIS. I mean.
You mean go into a coffee shop?
Yeah.
Well, it was a Christian, a Jew. A Christian, a Jew, a pagan, and an atheist, and a Muslim. Right.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll walk into a coffee shop. Right.
That was sort of what too. I was trying to say before, that I don't think your average Muslim is asking you to change your belief or be dead.
Right.
And, but ISIS is.
ISIS isn't asking you to change your belief. ISIS is saying
they just want
we are ISIS wants to establish a theocracy. And I think when we look at that, we tend to think, ooh, look at what's going on in the Middle East. Look at what ISIS is trying to force people to adhere to Muslim theology. Hey, people, that's
radical.
Happening here. There are people here who want to turn our country into a theocracy as well. There are people here who would like to see, Kim Davis, who would like to see the government adhering to principles that they consider the proper principles, which in their case is Christianity. And so theocracy is not just for ISIS or Middle Eastern believers. There are people here who would like that too.
But they're not willing to kill somebody if they don't.
No, just deny the marriage rights.
Yes.
Right, or any, yeah, exactly, or any other number
good
of things.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point,
Dolores, glad you're listening, and boy, think of all the good stuff you're going to be missing when you turn over to the football game.
Well, I can do both. I can multitask.
Oh, okay.
Listen to you and watch the game.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Dolores.
Have a good holiday,
okay.
Ladies.
312-981-7200 is our number. We're also watching the text lines. Somebody says there has to be some benefit in strikes that take out their training camps, et cetera. Some benefit in slowing them down. Maybe. We better do something, because if you actually think this can't happen here, eventually you are in denial. The president wants to let hundreds of thousands of Syrians into this country, knowing nothing about them. You two better wake up. I say that the majority of Syrians who are seeking refuge in countries outside of theirs are people whose lives have been turned upside down by their government and by religious ideology and by rebels, and they are not people who want to come here or to Germany or to Austria and cause trouble. They just want to live someplace and work someplace.
You said the majority.
Absolutely,
right.
The majority of refugees from Syria. And now we're looking and saying, well, okay, so your life got turned upside down. Screw you. You can't come here because exactly. So anyway, give us a call or give us a text or whatever. We're trying to stay connected to you, even though the stream may not.
You know, there was a my French teacher. I'm taking this French class. Is gone for 2 weeks. And so someone in the class said, are you going to Paris? And she said, no. And she said, I'm going to Israel. And people said, oh, Israel. And then I'm just thinking, and if she'd been in Paris, where we all thought she was going, mm-hmm. et voila.
If she'd been in Paris, the
chances of it being
that she
her,
was untouched
but
by it.
She'd be right. in Paris in a very curious
right.
time.
Right. And to I, be in Paris. there were many messages on Facebook and continue to be from people who have friends who live in Paris. Are you okay? Is everything all right? And everybody is texting back. We're fine. We're far away from it, or we're two blocks away and we were untouched by it. Again, I go back to the likelihood of being touched by it is minuscule.
But a lot of people, I heard reports this morning, are not on the streets.
Oh, right. Well, there's a
mandate?
Well, basically, it's like, what do they call that? Military, there's a name for when, martial law. I think it's the French equivalent of martial law,
mm-hmm.
that people are being encouraged not to be out and about. And yeah.
That's how
and,
I would
and
feel.
Would you? There would probably be another one.
Except today would be a day of such high security that it would probably be...
Well, that's what they say after a plane crash. You know, that's the safest time to fly.
Right.
Because, oh my gosh, I saw... This is sort of like a Kathy and Judy and you...
What?
Topic? Maybe we can talk about... Oh, we don't have news, right? We don't talk about news now. This is one of those things, so often people will say, Kathy says what other people think. And this is a thought that I think a lot of people think and then put it out of their mind because they don't want to think about it.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's like most of my life.
What, that you put thoughts out of your mind because you don't
want
to think about it?
I'm so Scarlett O'Hara lately.
Okay. All right. So the question is, when that horrible plane crash happened, where the Russian plane crashed, and it seems pretty clear now that it was sabotage, that there was a bomb aboard.
Right.
And all 247 or whatever it was, people aboard were killed. And I would look at pictures or video of the field of the crash, and you see parts of planes and parts of wheels and everything else, but you never see parts of people. And I wondered, what happens to a body when it falls from 30,000 feet? And I always sort of thought, well, when it hits the ground, everything inside, the bones break, the organs collapse, and that's what happens. And that's not what happens.
I think you explode.
Well...
Funny you should say that, Judy. I have an article here.
You must understand that the human body is mostly water. So think of your body being like a water balloon in one piece. And when you drop it on the ground, what happens? It explodes.
Mm-hmm.
The same as the cell in your body when it has a sudden stoppage. The cells explode and the human body turns to goop. For a better word, depending on the speed you were traveling and the sudden stoppage. At slower speed, again, depending on...
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
I can't believe there aren't other people who have wondered that. I can't be the only person that has thought, what happens when a human body drops like that?
Yeah, but when they have airplanes that crash, don't we read that there were body parts?
Well, yes. Sometimes one of the one of the responses to this, and there were a lot of them. One of them talked about apparently soldiers. Maybe Yun Tyre, producer today, could speak to this. Did you have your footprints taken?
No, my footprints weren't taken.
Okay, because somebody said somewhere in this thread that in the military that footprints are taken because they are usually inside a boot, and that may be the one body part that doesn't turn to goop when it hits, and so they would be able to identify a body part by the footprint.
So generally what they do is you've got your dog tags just in case the worst happens.
Right.
Or for example... you've got patches that have your blood type, your name, all of that is used to identify you. But even with that, there have been times where people have been, you know, especially in these recent wars, where explosive devices are so heavy.
It rips your clothes apart. Right.
Incinerates the person.
Right.
And at that point, you don't know who it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right.
It's,
Yun Tyre, our producer, was interviewed this week with Steve Bertrand. Because they were talking about Veterans Day and how we often think of veterans as old guys. How old are you, Yun?
I'm 29.
29, and he's a veteran. So it was really interesting to hear that conversation.
How long did you serve?
I served for a total of about 4 years.
Wow.
And overseas in Iraq?
I did. I was overseas in Iraq in the Al Anbar province for the most part.
This is a tough question to ask. Do you feel like it was worth it?
You know, I think part of me really does, and then part of me kind of doesn't. The part of me that feels like it was worth it was that I got to go over there, and, you know, the people over there are not like we would think. The people over there are actually just like us in a lot
Imagine.
Of ways. They just want what's best for themselves.
And their
and
children.
And their families. And there's just a certain population there that's wants to kind of harm everybody. So we were able to stave that off, but you know, now I kind of look back, and if we're talking about the bigger picture, we sort of pulled out of there way too quick, and it was a campaign that was sort of designated by politics, so you can't reverse
most wars
years
are.
And years of culture,
right.
or basically centuries of culture in just a few years,
right.
So it was sort of a failed game plan from the start, but having been able to go over there and make my own contribution and the contribution of the soldiers who served over there, that you know, is something that I'm very proud of.
Right. And you returned in good health and in one piece.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Back.
Very fortunate about
Welcome
that.
Welcome back. So we're talking about terrorism and what happens to bodies when they fall from great distances. Rita's here to talk about Paris. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Kathy and Judy.
Hi
Rita.
I've never called you guys before. I love you.
Thank you.
My sister and her husband is going next Friday to Paris.
Good for them.
Yes. Their son-in-law planned it all. They're going with their three daughters. As of last night, I thought when I heard everything was closed and everything going on, we just assumed that they weren't going. I was just in a store, and she called me, and she said, they're still going to go.
Well, why are you surprised?
Well, everything they had planned to do, the Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, eat downtown Paris in these cafes. Now she's telling me that their villa is 30 miles in the country from Paris. It's not right downtown, and they're just not going to visit the city because of what happened.
I think by then regular life will have resumed. Crazy to go near Paris and not go into Paris.
I know, but she said now that, you know, that, I said, what are you going to do? And she said, well, maybe we'll go to another country. I mean, with the borders and everything, I'm thinking, oh, my God. Her son-in-law said it's probably safer now than when we went before. But I already had in my mind that she wasn't going. It was, I mean, I just thought to myself, thank God she wasn't there this week. I would have been a basket case.
But see, not going is your what your reaction would have been. But, you know,
I know.
Not theirs.
And I'm looking.
And
go ahead.
She's very religious and has deep faith. And she said, you know what? I'll be with my family. None of us knows. It's in God's hands, that kind of thing. And I'm like, okay.
Well, you know.
Well, she's a grown-up.
Yep, that's right. I'm glad they're still going. And as, thank you, Rita, has been pointed out, that, and as the president pointed out last night, France has been one of our longest standing allies. France was with us during the Revolutionary War. There are pictures making the rounds of the American flag in front of the Eiffel Tower, huge one laid out in front of the Eiffel Tower after 9/11. And I think I have some friends, Carol and John, who are planning, I hope still planning, to go to Paris at the end of this month. What better way to support Paris than to say, we're coming.
With our dollars.
That's right. We're coming over and we're going to spend our money there. And according to a Time magazine story a couple years ago, according to Richard Barrett, coordinator of the United Nations Al-Qaeda Taliban monitoring team, the chance of dying in a terrorist attack, this is in the United States, is 1 in 20 million.
This is here on our land.
In the United States, right. The chance of dying in a terrorist attack is of 1 of 20 million. Now, let me see. There's another page up on Yahoo of, I think it's a national or an international statistic analysis of terrorism. What are your chances? And they are better. I'm trying to think if it's better or worse that I want to use here, than of winning the lottery. I mean, whoever thinks they're going
to... You're more likely to win the lottery.
Right, than to be the victim of a terrorism attack. This is Luke. Hey, Luke.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
If my children are in the background, I apologize. You're on Bluetooth in the car.
It keeps them out of your hair.
Yeah, they're buckled in, so they're not going anywhere. You were talking about ISIS is trying to establish.
Oh, no. Luke.
Those kids, they're always messing with the Bluetooth.
Damn, they're Bluetooth. They just messed up with your signal. Well... Luke got through, and we hope he'll get through again. 312-981-7200. Text us or give us a call. We're checking your texts kind of routinely.
Yeah.
And we'll get back to those and your calls.
Kathy and Judy back. And we, first of all, for those of you who can hear us and have tried a couple times and finally could get us, thank you for keeping at it. Thank you for being patient. And Luke,
we're going to talk to Luke. Glad you tried again, Luke.
Yeah, thank you.
I made it back.
All right.
So what I was saying, there was a interesting article that I read a couple months ago in somewhat of a unsuspected source. It was the Atlantic magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 10 or 12 pages long, very in-depth about the history and goals of ISIS. And you were, you know, correct in that they want to establish a theocracy, but it's, you know, their term for it is the caliphate, and they've actually already declared that they have a caliphate. And the long and short of the article was that the purpose of ISIS is to bring forth Armageddon, and at least according to the author of the magazine, which they seem to have all their resources in a row, and their sources that they were citing seemed fairly you know, accurate and, you know, peer-reviewed sort of sources. So,
and then what happens?
Well,
everybody's gone. I mean, then how did they win?
Exactly. That they win because they go to where they want to go.
Oh, they go to their heaven.
Yes, and that's the, you know, and everyone else dies along with them, and they don't go to their heaven. So, you know, that's the end goal, again, according to that article.
It's religious extremism at its most ridiculous.
It is. And it is scary. You know, just last night thinking about that, my wife and I were planning on going out, and I'm a police officer, so, you know, thinking the whole time, should I carry off duty tonight? Should I not carry off duty tonight? You know, because we were going to a popular place, so, but, you know, it makes you think. It's scary.
What'd you decide?
We decided to stay in, but that was mainly because our kids didn't have naps that day, so it was going to be terrible no matter what. So.
Okay, quick question. You've got the two kids in the back seat.
Yep.
They've kind of quieted down. Are they listening, and do they know anything about what we're talking about? I don't know how old they are, obviously.
Oh, they're too young. One is a toddler, and the other one is an infant, so they're too young.
Oh, okay.
My oldest, who's not in the car, we were trying to explain it a little bit to her. She's only five, but, you know, it's hard to explain that sort of stuff to a five-year-old.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
And kind of to what end? How's that going to help her? I mean, it's
exactly,
like the sex talk. You have to almost wait until they come to you.
I mean, she was asking about it, but, you know, so I owed her a little bit of an explanation. But again, and even if you were to try to explain it to an adult, you know,
well,
the details and the in-depth, where do you stop?
I don't understand. If it seems to me that if you wanted to impose your religious beliefs, that you would have a terrorist attack on some other sort of religious institution that was counter to yours,
right.
A bunch of young people in their 20s who were at a heavy metal concert. I'm not sure why that was chosen.
I don't think they are heavy metal. I was reading about the band.
Eagles of Death.
It's kind of a jokey title.
Well, I mean, half of it probably was that they were from America and, you know, they were.
Ah, okay. They were doing a double whammy to America and France.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a California-based band. But,
right.
You know, again, I'm referring back to that article on there, so that's my source on this. But the idea so much isn't so converts to Islam aren't held in high esteem by ISIS either. It's not so much a conversion thing as it is a us against you sort of thing. As far as, again, I don't want to be quoted as saying this specifically came from me. This came from that article, but the idea is that the apostates or what I guess you could call like soft Muslims or like the Christian version, priesters who only do, you know, the nominal things that don't adhere to Sharia law as far as Islam goes, those are the worst of the worst. And then, you know, from there in descending order, it's Jews and then Christians. And, you know, so it's not so much about conversion as it is about just getting rid of everyone but them. And then whoever's left, and at the end, they take out the...
They just want to be the boss of everybody.
But wait, Luke, you're saying that they would rather, their sights are more set on Muslims who are kind of loosely Muslim.
Yes.
That's more of an enemy for them than than Jews.
Yes, and that's why they don't have an issue.
Second place.
yes. Congratulations. You're still on the podium.
Luke, we're glad you called. Thank you. I may go. That article that you referred to was in the Atlantic.
Yeah, if you Google ISIS magazine article, I think it's the first one that came up. I don't recall the title of it, but it is in the Atlantic magazine. So.
Okay. They do some good reporting. Thank you for the call, Luke.
No problem.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is our number, and this is Dave. Hi, Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hi, girlfriend.
Hi, girlfriend.
My wife, Marianne, and I are longtime fans. We're driving back from Florida and Kentucky, streaming your program, and it's working very nice.
Thank you.
You wanted to comment.
I'd like to comment on the Syrian refugee situation that you were talking about.
Yes.
First of all, the president only wanted to bring in 10,000, which a lot of us thought was a lot fewer than we should have taken. The second point is that guys like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, who were afforded an escape for their parents, supposedly, so they could live a better life, are unwilling to do that for people from other countries. It was okay for them, but it's not okay for the Syrians. But I really believe that the United States is way behind on this, that we should be allowing a lot more of them into the country. And I wouldn't worry at all about them sneaking in people to kill us. I don't believe that'll happen.
Well, and as somebody else said, they're probably here already.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
You know,
and it's, I mean, Bill Maher last night.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure you do. He's right. We should just get the hell out of the Middle East. We're trying to change their way of living over there. And maybe they might start to think less of us or think more of us.
You know how many military bases we have around the world? 900. 900.
What amazes me is that there's 5 million people under arms in those countries, Saudi Arabia, all those places, and they never shed a drop of blood in defense of their brother nations. They never do. It's always Americans or French or English that come over and do all the fighting.
And it's not that we're entirely altruistic either, Dave. We have great economic interest in going
Absolutely.
Over there to get involved. Well, give our love to
Absolutely.
Marianne.
We always did. She's right here.
Okay.
She's so happy you're back on the radio. You made my life again. I mean, it was terrible when you were up on the radio.
Glad we could help. Thank you, Dave and Marianne.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye. Take care. 312-981-7200. And we'll be back with your calls and your texts on a number of things after this.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Kathy and Judy back with
yes,
a little
intro and our intro.
Eagles of Death Metal. Apparently, they're referred to as a band known for wit. They are
That's
not
right.
strictly, I mean, this sounds a little, not really heavy metal, a little bit metal, but apparently, at least I heard this morning that they're all okay. That when this began, the band and the crew managed to get backstage and get out. And as far as we know, none of them suffered any injuries. But apparently there are Americans. Or we're Americans. And, of course, that's all we care about, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, Kathy and I have the same position on that. You know, when something like this happens and then the news starts to come out, that apparently there were 7 Americans.
Right, among the 1,000 dead.
You know,
we're so...
Lives are lives are
right,
lives.
Exactly. This is Rhonda. Hi, Rhonda.
Good morning, girls.
Good morning. Thanks for calling and for sticking
Finding
with
us.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, you know, the big philosophical questions and the labels for things and the interaction between groups is well above my understanding level. When I heard about this, it was shocking. It was paralyzing for a moment. The fear was overwhelming, and then I got downright angry. And I put myself in the seat in one of those places for the concert hall, and the first thing I thought of is, what would I do?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we prepare for tornadoes. We prepare for our fire drills. I think it's time in our minds for individuals, we prepare for what would I do and be prepared for the finality of the situation to be the outcome. That might be a given, but boy, before they get a dinner, I'm going to have a sandwich.
I'm not sure. Yeah, you're kind of losing us with metaphor.
Sorry. Before I meet my end at their hands,
yes.
they will become my target.
Do you?
It will not
are you
be
a concealed
given.
Carry?
They're going to be a victim.
Are you
no.
a concealed? How will they be your victim?
I don't know. I will use my wits. I will use my mind. I will use anything at hand, but I will not become a submissive victim.
I think the spirit of your remarks is clear. But if you're standing there and somebody with an AK-47 points it at you and pulls the trigger, all your wit and all your spirit.
I'm falling on them. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going toward them. Because there's no way I can outrun them. And the chances are whoever's behind me could get out. This idea of being paralyzed and being a victim is a mindset.
You know, that's.
And I realize I may be dead in the end, one way or the other.
Right.
I'm going down fighting.
That's you know, it's easy for us to say that I will go down fighting, and we have no idea because we've never been in that situation.
Exactly.
And I like to think that I would be the one that would stand up and, you know, put my arms out and say, fuck you, shoot me, you bastards, you know, but I would probably, I would be diving under the seats. The truth is, I would dive.
I would do it first.
Right.
I'm just saying that after I get my wits about me, I would assume that I'm dead and it's a matter of time. And that there's no way it can outrun them. But this mindset of just not doing anything has got to stop.
But doesn't
we don't do that about fire escapes? We don't do that about other things. Naturally, it's all a given situation. I may not have the opportunity in a situation like that, but it won't cross my mind last. I will prepare in my mind ahead of time.
Okay.
What could I do? If it's not doable, then I can't.
Because what may cross. What may cross your mind last is, you know, the shrapnel from an AK-47.
Elizabeth, how old are you?
And I figure that is a given.
Right.
It's not like I can control that. It's what I can control is what I do.
I have two questions, Elizabeth.
Sure, sure.
Number one, how old are you?
68.
Okay. And number two, has this kind of Annie Oakley, you know, fight them down to the end, always been your attitude and the way you've run through your life?
No, it has progressed over a period of time. As I started out as a young person, I thought, kumbaya, and we could all live together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great, and I think it should be the bottom line of being treating each other with respect. But I have no control over the bigger picture. All I have control over is me. And in some situations, I don't have control over the situation at all.
Right. Right. Well,
but I'm no longer going to sit there in my mind and just accept the fact that I am a victim.
Okay.
All right. So when you were trying to get us on your app, did you run into frustrations or did you just get us immediately?
I have tech support.
Okay.
Well, what do you mean? Do you have a child living with you?
No, I have a wonderful tech-savvy husband.
Oh, okay. So he helped you. Rhonda, we're glad you called. We love your spirit. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. And this is Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Well, hello.
Are you exhausted?
I'm surprised I got on, that's all. I just wanted to say, I actually had a niece in Paris.
Okay,
and
she's okay.
She was at the stadium. Yes, she's fine. She was at the soccer stadium, and I have four kids that did all these things, and they did all these they went everywhere, and of course I worried about them, but I let them do things. So I think it's important. And
she's your niece. What control do you have over a niece?
My niece. I have no control.
Oh, okay.
No control whatsoever. But she's already home. She's already back in Phoenix. Because she was so freaked out, and I personally thought that was wrong. I think that she should have stayed there because now the danger is over, and I think you need to let your kids do things.
Absolutely.
Wait, your niece got on a plane since yesterday and last night?
Yes, I thought they closed the airport.
I don't know how this happened. I don't know either because I went to sleep. I woke up on Facebook. They're like, Emily's home. I'm like, how did this girl come from Paris back home to Phoenix, Arizona, in that short time? But what I'm saying is you kids have to do things. You have to let them go. You have to let them experience life.
Right. Exactly.
She made the choice to experience what she felt was tolerable. Unless she had a plane. Did she have a plane scheduled to come home anyway?
No, she was supposed to be there till December.
Expensive ticket.
And my daughter's been to London. My kids have been everywhere. My son spent last year in Italy, and he just became a school teacher. Every day I worry about, shootings.
Right.
And, what's going to happen. And then I have two daughters that are psychologists. that work in colleges. So every day I have to think, oh, my gosh, is this going to be the day that there's going to be a shooting in this
school? Now, Elizabeth, do you worry about that every day?
I kind of, every day I think about it, just for a moment, because it's happening so much. Like, you hear these things. But, yeah, every morning I think, oh, gosh. But at the same time, I don't, because we cannot,
do anything about it. Right, yeah.
We can't live like that.
Right.
We can't just stay in our rooms and say, what's going to happen today?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
We have to get out there and, you know. And so I was kind of, I feel bad because I was kind of disappointed that she came home.
We're still trying to figure out the timeline on that because I thought one of the things that happened was that the airport was closed. So,
well, okay, she was at the stadium for the soccer game.
Right.
But she got home. She's already home. When I woke up this morning, which I don't even know what time it was. It was early. It was already on Facebook. Emily's home. She's safe. I'm like, what the heck? How did that happen?
Yeah.
That had to be a $4,000 ticket. That's
right.
No, and I'm glad she's safe. I don't, you know, believe me.
Okay.
But I thought, wow, I kind of feel like my son, who's a teacher, and he's only 23. And I said, are you afraid? He's like, nope. He's like, you can't be afraid. You can't live your life afraid.
Well, are you calling your niece a coward?
He just...
Are you calling your niece a coward?
No.
Oh.
No. No, I'm not saying she's a coward because she's a very, family-oriented... This is the first time they let this girl do anything. Like, I was happy that she was actually doing something. I'm not saying she's a coward. But I'm saying that you have to, like, you can't live your life in fear.
Okay.
Agreed.
Elizabeth,
agreed.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you for the call.
All right.
Oh, okay. Bye.
You know,
whatever.
I heard an interview the other day, and it was with Twyla Tharp, and I forget who the interviewer was, but... You know, he was drawing it to a close. And she said, is that all?
Aren't we talking more?
There's so much more.
Are we done? It's great. Well, 312-981-7200 is our number. I'm not sure that we've solved anything. We never do.
We just do some venting.
Yeah. Do you want to continue that?
To vent?
Well, no. Here's Patty. Patty?
Yes?
Hi. You have a comment?
Yes, I contacted one of my friends who's over in Paris right now.
Right.
And was going to ask them if they were going to come home. And she said it's not that they've closed their borders, they're enforcing their borders. Over in Europe, they travel a lot like we do here in the States. You don't need the identification to get back and forth across the border. So basically, it's just making sure that everybody's passport and documentation is being checked.
Right. Okay. But our question
probably got home.
Yeah, our question about Elizabeth was... that it was our understanding that the airport had been closed.
But she
the
would have been able to get out of
airport had been closed.
She could have gotten out of Paris though to get to another country to come home.
Okay. All right.
That's still
pretty
swift.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the clarification, Patty.
Okay.
We appreciate it. Okay. I would like, this is totally away from Paris. Somebody and we've talked about this before, but I think there's something we could do. Children nowadays are photographed incessantly. Little children between the ages of 1 and 6, when they cease being that cute, are photographed by their parents, their grandparents, their aunts and uncles and everything else. As a result, most little children have developed a fake smile. That a kid and somebody that I know posted a picture the other day of, I can't remember if it was a child or a grandchild, and this child had this pasted on smile that was hilarious. It was like a grimace. You know, smile, honey. So I propose that there should be some way on our Kathy and Judy Facebook page, facebook.com/Kathy and Judy. For those of you who have pictures of your children, we don't want names. These children are going to be anonymous children. No way for anybody to track who these children are or anything. But I think we could have a hilarious gallery of pictures of little children doing their fake smiles. So,
that's great. Yeah. I thought you were going to say they all went out and got agents.
Oh, no, because most of them don't look that cute when they're doing their fake smile.
Right.
But if you are a parent or a grandparent and you go, oh, my God, I know exactly what you mean. And even if you have two or three pictures of the same kid doing the same fake smile, please go to our Facebook page. And I'm trying to figure out how they would get posted there. I guess you could do it as a message on our Facebook page.
How do you mean?
Well, if you go to Kathy and Judy on Facebook, hold on a second. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants here.
Why wouldn't you post it the way you would post a photograph of your turkey this or something?
Well, then it would only be on your own page. I mean, how would we see it then?
How do people post messages on our page anyway?
They post it on the page, but it's over at the side. You know, it's not like on the timeline.
Yeah.
It's over at the side, if you know what I mean. Apparently not.
Blank.
All right, here's what we want you to do. Go and find pictures of kids in your family who know how to come up with the fake smile. And send it to us on our Kathy and Judy page as a message. We'll find it. Attach it to us as a message. And then we'll find some way to post those all so you can all enjoy them. Don't tell us the kid's name. Just the picture and the hilarious, horrible smile.
Thank you, Bob Ferguson. Yeah. We're talking about fake smiles on little kids because they're so widely incessantly.
And we would love to see your photos that you have to submit to us. You can send it to us as a message. Attach a picture to a message at the Kathy and Judy Facebook page. So,
and then we'll have a good time this week.
Yeah,
looking at them together.
Right.
Sort of along those lines, I was thinking. Somehow, I think this over photographing of your infant, or your kid at the park,
mm-hmm.
or your whatever. People must think that everyone wants to see their child. Do you know? I mean, I have to admit that when my kids were growing up, our Christmas card would have pictures of our children.
Right.
But I wasn't Once really that interested in what other people's children
looked like. Well, no. I think the thing on Facebook, for me, I don't have people on Facebook. I don't follow people on Facebook that I don't like. So I may have accepted somebody as a friend because I know them, but either because their politics are so different than mine, or I find, you know, their Candy Crush invites annoying or whatever, I just don't follow them anymore, so their posts don't appear on my timeline. So the people whose babies I want to see, and there are some, I see those pictures when they're posted. Because the thing now is that you take a picture of your baby every month and you have something in front of them, whether it's in blocks or a little chalkboard or something like that, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months,
mm-hmm.
so that their progression and their aging, such as it is documented by month.
But for whom?
I don't know. I like to look at my sister's grandkids. I like to look at, you know,
that's family.
Grant and Whitney's kids and just people who have, I like babies. I don't want to look at the baby of somebody I don't know. So I probably won't be looking at that because I won't be following it. But you don't like to look. Sometimes babies are really cute, and sometimes they're not. There's that.
Yeah.
There's that aspect
where
you kind of look and go, "Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe it'll get cuter."
Don't you remember right to put the helmet on when they were sleeping?
Yeah, that's right. Right. Don't blow that picture up because it's best in a snapshot size. Yeah.
Now
yeah.
It did happen to watch, and I don't know how this baby got on in my feed, but there was a picture. Maybe it was just a viral baby. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Like there had been 6,000, 100,000 looks or something. But it was a baby in a diaper sitting straight up with her back to a dog who was licking her back.
Cute.
And she was leaning into it and really getting off on it.
Uh-huh.
It was cute.
I've seen that. Yeah, that's sweet. And thanks to Becky who sent... If you go to our Facebook page, Becky sent a picture of some kid that apparently she knows. And it looks like one of those school pictures. So the kid looks like it's maybe first grade or second grade. And there's, oh, shoot, you're going to have to come over here to look at the picture. But it's exactly what we were talking about. What passes as a smile and is really a grimace. Huh? Oh, I just did something, Bob. I just lost my screen. Did I unplug that or something? 312-981-7200. We're talking about the fake smile that kids get because they have been photographed so freaking often. Rhonda.
Hi. Well, I actually think I remember being a kid and my little brothers not knowing how to smile either when they're just little. They do. You know, it's like, okay, smile on demand, and
right.
it's hard to do. But I was calling you actually about what Judy said about all the people thinking everybody wants to see their kid.
Mm-hmm.
My mom has so many pictures from so many friends and family and, you know, of all these kids. She didn't know she's not going to put them all up. She's going to put them up of her grandkids and, you know, that kind of stuff. So she you don't want to throw them out. So she actually put in an empty, she labeled an empty card box, OPK. And I said, what does this stand for?
Other people's
and
kids.
I opened it up, and she said, it stands for other
people's kids. Right.
Because she doesn't want to throw them away, but she doesn't necessarily want to make a photo album out of it either. So I just thought that was funny that, you know, she has an OPK box. And
yeah.
And we have the delete.
Right,
there you go.
Right. And as Judy referred to the annual Christmas card or the annual holiday card, that's once a year.
Right.
Right. Now you're getting updates every month from people.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you get to decide. But yeah, Rhonda, do you have any pictures of OPKs with the fake smile?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All of them from when we were little are like that. And I shouldn't say all of them because you're right. You know, there wasn't piles of them, but it was, okay, it's, you know, whatever day or today's school picture day, you know, you'd smile on demand. Or, you know, today's so-and-so's birthday, smile, and... It's just a fake smile, even if it was his own birthday.
Right.
You know, my brother still do that. So, you know, and that was in the 70s, so,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, in this current time, and thanks for your call, Rhonda, OPK, great. This a text from a girlfriend in 773. I have texted and called in before. I am 5 months pregnant, and I have posted several of my ultrasounds on Facebook. I have also already bought those stickers with the numbers on to document those anniversaries, those 1 month anniversaries.
I say rethink this. I really say rethink this.
Yeah, we don't really, not your ultrasounds. I don't think so. That's stretching it. It says, are you saying you won't be real friends with those whose politics are different from yours? Because I said before, I only follow people that I like. And I like lots of people whose politics are different than mine. They're just not the disrespectful, strident, hateful kinds of politics that I don't bother myself with. If somebody wants to post that kind of horrific, disrespectful notices on Facebook about where they stand politically, yeah, I'm not going to make myself crazy. I just don't do it anymore. There's plenty of people that I have some great friends who are really different than me. Hey, right now I live in DuPage County. they haven't discovered me yet. But I'm sure some of the Democrats out there will find me.
I'm sure there's people like me. Up next year for the election.
That's right.
And then suddenly your house starts to burn.
Yeah. Well, 312-981-7200 is our number. Kathy and Judy, back after this.
This is Judy.
Hi, Judy. And this is Kathy.
Did I sound Scroogian when I said that I'm not interested in other people's babies?
Is that a rhetorical question?
No.
A little bit.
Really?
Well, it doesn't
take any.
I
feel that way.
How much time does it take to look at a picture? That's all I'm saying. If you don't want to look at it, don't follow those people. Or if you look at it's a kid's picture.
Well, if I get
screw that
a viral. I mean, there's so many people that put their kids' pictures up on YouTube.
Oh, because, yeah, that you know, well, that you have that to click on.
Yeah, I don't go looking for trouble.
Right, you ask for that.
Right.
Although there are some really sweet YouTube videos with kids. The one where the little kid is arguing with his mother, and says. Oh, what is it? He uses her first name. And he says something like, Joanne, listen to me. Just listen to me. He's about 3 years old. And then there's that beautiful one of the child telling apparently the parents are divorced or separated and they were fighting. And this child, this beautiful little girl, probably 5 or 6, is talking to her mother and saying, now, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but you have to bring yourself down here. And she's just talking about not fighting and being nice to each other. And sometimes I think you got to get a life, girl, because you've seen this video 3 times and you can practically repeat it word for word. So, and those aren't people I know. Those aren't people whose children I know.
You don't go up on YouTube and look for them.
No, usually somebody posts them on their Facebook page, and I think, oh, this is cute. I haven't seen this in a while. I'll watch this again. But I'm figuring out what Facebook, you know how Facebook, what's the word for what they do? They figure out everything you click on, and then they keep putting those up.
Yeah, you mean the ads on?
Well, it says suggested post or we mm-hmm. thought you might like this or something. Mm-hmm. And I apparently click on way too many cute pet things because everything that you won't believe what this little puppy and pig did. And I find myself going, don't click on it. Don't click on it. You just know what the ending's going to be. And I think that most of what appears on my page. Now, I'm guessing you don't have a lot of those on your Facebook page. That
no, but you
cute
know what
puppy,
I am a sucker
cute animal,
for?
Or abused animal.
I'm a sucker
animal.
For when the gorilla and the person that raised him reunite.
Oh, right. So you get a lot of those. Right. Larry yeah. and his llama reunite
hadn't seen each other
after
for
years of separation. Okay.
So, watch and see what happens.
No, it's you won't believe what happens when Larry and his llama reunite. So anyway, I was just noticing that the other day. I thought, oh, I'm clicking on way too many of these things.
Well, how much did you, I think we asked you this about
how much time I spend on
you
Facebook.
Said about an hour?
Cumulatively.
Yeah.
I probably go to my computer 8 times a day, mm-hmm. mostly to answer a question, mostly where's the nearest Home Depot? What really happens to a body when it hits the ground from 30,000 feet?
Lots of people that ask the Home Depot question
right,
ask that one next.
Right. I go to my computer several times a day to look at stuff, and then as long as I'm there, then I go to Facebook. So, yeah. And obviously, anything that you just bought or considered buying, then it's everywhere. I've looked at low dressers. I've looked at barn door tracks.
I have black ballet flats.
Okay, there you
up
go.
The wazoo.
I know. It's really embarrassing when it's in your face, because that's what you're clicking on, and they know what you're clicking on. So somewhere in a database, some company or some organization can ask one of these companies, that data consolidators, okay, I need a list of older women who click on animal humane practices and puppies and barn door tracks. And there I'll be right at the top of their list because that information all got sold to somebody. Anyway, all right, here's the deal, kids. We really appreciate that a lot of you have just been struggling and working at getting us on the app and the stream and whatever it's called. And obviously,
don't break up with us.
It's not a perfect system. We're going to talk to some people about that. We don't know what's going to happen next week. If Northwestern is doing really well, it's possible they'll get pushed over to a later time. Both next week and the next game after that, and I'm not sure it's exactly the next week after that, they're all TBAs in terms of time.
On our schedule.
Right. So we don't know what time the Northwestern game is next week. We'll obviously tell you on the Facebook page and keep checking in with that.
Or you can check Northwestern's page, too.
Right. We'll be, while we love Northwestern and Dave Ennett and the whole thing, we'll be glad when the season's over because we like to have, to be able to talk to you guys in an easy way. And this hasn't always turned out to be extremely easy, but thanks to all of you who helped out. Thanks to, engineer extraordinaire Bob Ferguson. Thanks to Yun Tai, who's been great about handling all these calls. In the producer's booth. And thanks to all of you for sticking with us. And we're anxious to see your pictures. Send them to us as a message on our Facebook page. Pictures of children who have learned to do a fake smile because they've been photographed constantly since the day they were born. Or in the case of one of our girlfriends, since before they were born. So we're Kathy and Judy. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week.